It's time for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald from Anchors Away. And, man, love these questions, Nancy. They're helping us not only help our kids stand on solid ground where their faith is concerned so they don't wander away from it when they go to college, but I got to think this is helping even the adults who are listening.
Yes, I think so, too. And, you know, last week we talked about faith and hope. And today we're just going to kind of take that question a little bit farther and talk about the faith of Abraham, who oftentimes has been referred to as a man of blind faith. First of all, the term blind faith is a bit of an oxymoron. If faith is based on what you know to be true, then how could it be blind? And with Abraham, he spent time with God. Obviously, as we'll see, the way he lived out his life. And for us, as we spend time with God and reading his word and doing our homework, which means praying and getting familiar with the voice of God, it's through that that we build a strong faith. And God created Abraham to be that guy with a strong faith because he clearly understood and listened to the voice of God, which is most unusual in today's society and in our culture. Yeah. But back then, God often did speak in a voice when he wanted to be heard, and he wanted to be heard here loud and clear. That this call was going to go on Abraham, and Abraham was the one that he had chosen to be one of his and one of his leaders. So I think as we get into this, we'll see that faith in this instance could not be blind. It had to be rooted in truth, because no man would leave his family, or he took his family with him, but would leave his land and his own culture and go to a place he didn't know where he was going, but was trusting God to lead him in that way.
Well, Nancy, that's one of the things that is so impressive about, obviously, the way that God moves, but more so, it's impressive from a perspective that when we do get a nudging from God, we should follow it. This is a guy who left everything behind and just packed up his family and said, we're going to go. Yeah. And can you imagine the confrontation that may have caused among people? And his obedience is just such a great model for us.
It's a huge model for us. And, you know, in the little things, I think we see here the big things with God and Abram, but also in the little things of life. But for the big things, when he said to Abram, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So again, that's huge faith. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know what? That to me, reading it historically and knowing it was true, but for Abraham with no history of this, he listened, and then we see in scriptures in Genesis 12 continuing, so Abram went as the Lord had told them, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old. So those of us who think that 75 is ancient and it's time to retire, I think this reading this is saying, nope. You are going to continue ministering until I call you home, and it would be over 100 years in this case. So, I mean, this is an amazing, amazing story of faith, and it's not a feel-good faith because you can't, I mean, can you imagine what that was like to go on this journey with really, let's just be honest, smelly animals and mm-hmm. kids and all that, and camping out. If you like camping, I don't, but I can't even imagine doing this. But he did it, and he never looked back. And how many times would you do that?
Well, you know, what gets me about his story, too, I will overthink a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to be disobedient, but I might ask for more, because what gets me is Abraham just went. And one of the things that you've pointed out is he didn't get step-by-step directions.
No.
He had God's word. And then he just went. And me, how many times do I ask God any direction? Will you write it in big, large letters on the
right.
wall so I can read it
right.
before I obey?
Right. And the thing is, too, Kelly, that this journey was about 600 miles. I'd get about 3 miles, 4 miles into it and say, whoa,
yeah.
you know.
What am I doing?
This is ridiculous. But 600 miles, and we're talking about pre-roads. It's probably just dirt or whatever. But I read this, and I'm just, we talk about faith. And the question of this was blind faith. There is no way. A faith of just feelings, Abraham never would have accepted this journey and never would have continued to go. But the thing was, as God announced to him that he was going to have a son, again, Abraham was overwhelmed. He was shocked. And I wish we had time to talk about the Abrahamic covenant. Maybe we can do that in the weeks to come. But this is just an amazing thing. Not only did God take him out of the land, now he was going to promise him a son, which had to be a miracle because of their age. And he promised it, and then Abraham waited 25 more years for it to come into fruition. I don't know about you, Steve. I don't have that kind of patience. Not in a million years.
No, none. But the thing that is also most impressive about that this account is that Abraham faithfully takes one step, and then God's not done with him. He moves him again, and then he's not mm-hmm. done with him. He keeps giving him direction, and Abraham keeps following it as he should. But that obedience, we see, produces so much in our faith.
I wonder if Abraham hadn't obeyed that, what would things be like now? How would this whole discourse have changed? I mean, you know, we see, obviously, here's a picture of Jesus. God's not going to withhold his only son. So there's an early picture of that. But Abraham did not have to obey, yet he did. And then you get back to the whole question of the day.
Yeah.
Was his faith a blind faith? No. I mean, he's
no
thought
way.
Things through. This is amazing to me.
There is no way. In Hebrews 11, you know, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise and was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did not receive him back.
It's remarkable because we think of that promise through Isaac shall be your offspring, and they shall be named through Isaac. And so, you know, there's got to be this trust, right? There has
Huge.
To be this trust that,
Huge.
Yeah, you know what? Even if you're telling me to do this, mm-hmm. to lay him as a sacrifice on the altar to mm-hmm. you, I trust that because you've told me it's through him that you will even raise him from the dead.
Yeah. And the Abrahamic covenant that God did with Abraham involved the slaughtering of animals,
mm-hmm.
and a blood path mm-hmm. was created. And as you know, when we study the covenant, we're getting off here a little bit, but it's so fitting in this because God was painting a picture right there of Abraham, what was about to happen. And the remarkable thing about Abraham is that those animals were cut up and that blood path was ready for God to walk. And he walked it saying this, if through me you shall not have your descendants come after you, all those descendants leading to Jesus Christ, if I break my promise in that, do to me what you did to these animals.
Mm.
And then as we read this story, and there's Abraham, this guy that we've been studying about of great faith. He's standing there watching it, and God kind of like paralyzed him because he didn't want him to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He put him in a stupor. And guess what? God said, you know what, Abraham, I love you and those to follow, which would be all of us. I love you so much. I'm going to walk this blood path for you. And if you and your people don't obey me, then do this to me. And 2,000 years later, he was slaughtered on a cross.
Yeah.
fulfilling his part of a covenant to Abraham. How much did he love Abraham?
Yeah, and especially the fact that in the Abrahamic covenant, there is no responsibility that is laid on Abraham.
Yes.
It is all God. He took it all upon himself.
Yeah.
And that is so it's remarkable. But just as you said, that's why Jesus is the only one who could ever fulfill and provide that way out.
Absolutely.
And that salvation.
Yeah. And Abraham did not act blindly. It wasn't a something that he felt like doing for sure. But it was what he knew about God. He knew that God was God. He knew God was in control of all things. He knew God was faithful and would keep his promise. And therefore, he did whatever God told him to do.
Yep.
I mean, it's just totally ridiculous in the beauty of all this. So I think as we look at Abraham, and it says, by faith, Abraham, yes, was Abraham before Christ died on the cross, was he declared as a man of faith? Absolutely, because he was looking forward to the cross. On this side of the cross, when we look forward, when we believe that the Messiah is coming, that's faith in the Messiah is our Savior. So it depends on what side of the cross you're looking on.
Mm.
But we're expected to act in faith to God's promises. The bottom line is for us today. And we may not understand how he will work something out, but we can trust God's character. And that's really what it's all about. His promises and our experience of walking with him daily, we have to give those to God as Abraham did. Abraham had a lifetime of walking with God, and he has good evidence from the past to draw on to trust God.
Yeah.
And we need to draw on our experience with God. I think, just summing this up today, we don't understand what's happening when we're suffering. We don't understand, but we have to have faith to push through that God does understand, and it will be for his glory. And that's what's so cool about all this. We suffer, even die. You know, that's what Paul said. If I'm living or dead, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I think if Christians could have that kind of faith, it would be astounding. All three of us sitting here, it's just like, oh, my gosh, it would change everything.
And that's why it's so important if we are called to give up our life that we should, because that's what he did for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Well,
that's heavy stuff.
Nancy, got to say thank you, because that is another challenging question that is just so great. Was Abraham's faith in God blind? And the answer is certainly not. It is trusting. Mm-hmm. It is all obedience that we see that throughout. Kelly, it's just it's an awesome example of what we should follow.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, if you look at the things that you've gone through in life and you can look back in retrospect and see God was faithful through it. Yeah. It may have taken you getting through it to see that. But now you also have that experience with him that Abraham had and why his faith did not have to be blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn more about this, go to anchorsaway.org, or you can go to kellyandsteve.org. Click on the resources tab, go over there, find all about the boot camps, find all about the educational tracks. And while you're there, take a look at Unanswered, a small group study that you will be blessed by. Just trust me on this. You will love it. Go to anchorsaway.org. Thank you so much for being with us again, Nancy.
Thank you so much, Steve and Kelly.